I'm Becky Miller. I'm the Discipleship Director here at Damascus Road. Our lead pastor, Matthew, is preaching at a church in Harlan this morning, so he will be back next week. So for those of you who are new, you'll get a chance to meet our actual pastor next week. Around this time last year, as we were getting ready to start our discipleship groups, I preached about how discipleship is like spiritual eating. And I want to expound on that a little bit more as we get ready to launch our Bible study groups this fall. How is discipleship and learning about Jesus like spiritual eating? So my title of my sermon today is You Are What You Eat, which is an English phrase that has to do with healthy eating, and it's supposed to remind us that what we put in shows on the outside in our health and shows on our body. So you are what you eat. And this is also a biblical idea. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And in Luke 6:45, he said, "A good person produces good things out of the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things out of the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." So what comes out of us in our words and our actions comes from what's in our hearts, in the same way that what we put in our physical bodies by way of food is what manifests itself in our health and in our bodies. So let's talk about physical eating first. I have some French fries. Okay, who would like some French fries? I love French fries, especially the really good ones that you can get at Reitz on the market. Who's eaten French fries from there? Any of you who are new to Maastricht, make sure to go to the market and get frites at Reitz. They are absolutely the best, okay? Now, let's take a poll. What should go on these? Who says ketchup? Who says mayonnaise? Okay. Who says zorflase? Anybody? Curry ketchup? Satay sauce? Sambal sauce? Okay. All right. Who eats them plain? Anybody? Few people. Okay. People from New England, where my husband is from, would put white vinegar on these. White vinegar. Okay. So if you have a steady diet of French fries, what is going to happen to your health? It's not going to be real good. But French fries are a totally acceptable treat as part of a balanced and healthy diet. In fact, I encourage you to eat them. I just did. I definitely think you should go to Reitz and get Reitz. They're a great part of a balanced diet. We just can't make our entire diet fried foods. Now, who else likes these meal salads from Albert Heijn? These are awesome. We eat these all the time at my house. Now, this particular one only costs €3. That's just a little bit more than a large fries from Reitz, but, you know, for the same amount of money, it's got a lot more nutrition and a lot more beneficial things that your body needs. Now, I find that salad is harder to eat than French fries. You have to chew a lot more with salad, and if you're making it from scratch, it takes a lot of time to chop and toss and prepare everything. So it takes more work to eat a salad, and it may not be quite as tasty as French fries, but you need fruits and vegetables as part of a healthy part of your diet. And this one, for example, has chicken in it. You need protein, whether that's vegetable sources of protein or animal sources of protein, but you need protein and you need balance of all the colors of fruits and vegetables. When we think about spiritual eating, we need to think the same. Are we having a spiritual diet of junk food, or are we having a spiritual diet of things that are good and nutritious and will help us to live a God-honoring life? Jesus is our example in this, as well as in every other part of our life. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 that says, "People do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus knew the scriptures. Jesus quoted all the time from the law and the prophets, what we would call the Old Testament now. Jesus knew the scriptures in and out. He was a good student of the Word of God, and Jesus knew that that was our bread of life. That's what we needed to live. In John 4, Jesus and his disciples stop in Samaria, and Jesus stays outside the town and sits down by the well, and he sends the disciples into the town to buy food. And while he's there, he has a long conversation with a woman about the kingdom of God. And he shares the good news of how Jesus came to reconcile the world to God and how Jesus is the living water. And she runs off into the town to tell everyone to come out and to meet Jesus. And while she's gone, the disciples come back, and they bring food. And they're urging Jesus to eat. They say, Rabbi, eat something. And Jesus says, I have food that you know nothing about. And the disciples tended to take things really literally, so they got confused, and they said, did someone bring him food while we weren't looking? You know, we went and got him food, and we brought it back, and he says he has food that we don't know about. What's going on? And Jesus explained that his nourishment comes from doing the will of God. He says, my food is to do the will of God who sent me, and to finish God's work. So Jesus knew that he had to understand God's will, and he knew that he needed to do God's will. And that was Jesus' spiritual food. And then Jesus explains later in John, when he's talking to the disciples about what we would call communion or the Lord's Supper, he explains more about what he means about the bread of life. He said, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die, but will live forever. So Jesus knew that we needed to be in relationship with him and believe on him and live out every word that he taught for our spiritual nourishment. So how do we adjust our spiritual diet? How do we eat good spiritual food and fill our hearts with that good nourishment so that what comes out of it is to do God's will, is to love people and to love God and to serve others? How do we make those changes in our diet? Well, changing our spiritual diets can be like changing our physical diets. Have any of you ever gone on a diet or tried to change the way you've eaten, try to eat more healthy? Maybe in January, the new year starting, you want to eat more healthy? A lot of the advice I've read about healthy eating said that you need to start by taking an honest inventory about what you're currently eating. Maybe keep a food log for a couple weeks. Write down everything you eat. Be honest with yourself about what you're actually taking in, because then you can see what needs to change and where you can make adjustments in your diet to be healthier. So we're going to do that today. We're going to take a spiritual food inventory. When I'm not helping at the church or taking care of my five kids, I do freelance work as a corporate trainer and writer and editor. So we're going to do a little bit of a workshop today. So I have note sheets for you, and you're going to need a pen. If you don't have a pen, borrow one from your neighbor, or I don't have pens, I have markers. I'm a mom, what can I say? So if you need a marker, you can grab a marker. So I'm going to pass these note sheets around. Take one and pass it on. Now these are not to be turned in. They won't be looked at or graded. You don't even have to let the person sitting next to you see what you answer. But these are for you to take an honest assessment of what is your spiritual diet and what changes can you make to take in good things so you can put out good things. You want to maybe pass back some markers on both sides for those who need them. If you have extra pens in your purse or your pocket, would you mind passing them around to people who need them? Once we've taken an inventory, then the best advice I've read is to change one habit at a time. Because if you try to completely overhaul your entire life all at once, you might get really overwhelmed and want to quit. But if you change one habit at a time, then as you get better at that, you can change another habit and so on. So the one habit that I want to talk about to improve our spiritual appetite today is studying what Jesus taught as given to us in the Bible and learning how to apply that to our lives. So we're going to start by talking about our physical eating. So take a moment and write down what you ate yesterday. Well, a couple of things that you ate the whole day, if you can remember it all. And I didn't save a pen for myself. I was going to do it too. What did you eat yesterday, and how did you feel? At about 5 o'clock yesterday, I was cycling to the city center to run some errands, and I realized I was really, really hungry. And I was trying to figure out why I was so hungry, and I thought back over what I ate. And all I had eaten the entire day up to that point was a stroop waffle and some scrambled eggs. No wonder I was starving. I had just kind of skipped completely over lunch, and it was almost dinner time, and I hadn't eaten. I was so hungry. Then I had a salad for dinner. And then I ate half a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream after that. Then I felt kind of gross. So what we eat affects us in a lot of ways. If we eat good food in good amounts at the right times, we're going to feel satisfied and we're going to have a lot of energy. If we eat bad food, or if we eat too much of it, or we eat too little of it, or we eat at the wrong times or in the wrong proportions. I don't have any more pens. Does anybody have an extra pen? There are a couple in the back also at the table where Miriam is. So a balanced diet means having the right food in the right amounts at the right time. Otherwise, we don't have the energy to do the good work. We can't fuel our bodies well. Okay, so now think about, what content did I consume yesterday? What videos did I watch? What books did I read? What games did I play? What websites did I visit? What conversations did I have? What fed into me, to my mind and my emotions and my spirit yesterday? Take a moment and think about that. Again, no one's going to see it. This is just for you to take an honest look at what's coming in to your spiritual life. And then think, how did you feel after what you took in? Yesterday, I definitely spent too long on Facebook, just sort of endlessly scrolling on my phone, just brainlessly reading articles, watching videos of food recipes, you know, those new video recipes, and just sort of scrolling mindlessly. And then yesterday evening, I spent some time studying the Bible to get ready for this sermon, and I watched a video sermon by a pastor named Tara Beth Leach. She was talking about being on mission for God, and that's what I watched right before I went to bed. And I went to sleep thinking about God's word, and I woke up thinking about God's word, and I felt really great about that. There's definitely nights that I fall asleep watching Doctor Who on my laptop, and, you know, and entertainment is great, and entertainment is fine. We just want it to be like French fries, like a balanced part of our diet. So that's not to condemn whatever type of content you took in yesterday, but think about, was there anything that fed you spiritually, and how did you feel about what you ate or didn't eat spiritually yesterday? If you didn't get any spiritual input yesterday, did you end up feeling hungry for that, like I did at 5 o'clock yesterday after not really eating all day? Did you feel that the lack in your spirit? What we consume affects us. Is what we're taking in influencing us more than the Bible? Are all the sources that are coming into us influencing us more than Jesus' teachings? Are the attitudes that come out of us reflecting Jesus, or are they reflecting a worldly way of doing things? Are they reflecting selfishness or selflessness as we meditate on how Jesus was selfless? So as we think about what we're consuming, we can also think about who is feeding us. That is, who is teaching us. Luke 6 says that a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Or in the Message version of the Bible, it says, can a blind man guide a blind man? Wouldn't they both end up in a ditch? An apprentice doesn't lecture the teacher. The point is to be careful about who you follow as your teacher. So who are you following as your teacher? If our goal is to be disciples or students of Jesus, which is what being a Christian means, then we have to learn what he taught as recorded in the Bible. How many of you are students? Students, grad school, university, doctorate program, high school. Okay. If you don't go to class and you don't do any of your homework, can you still call yourself a student? Just enrolling in a program isn't enough, but we actually have to learn and we actually have to apply it to truly be students. And the same as we're students of Jesus, we have to put it into practice. So there are many ways of studying what Jesus taught in the Bible. First of all, just read it. Don't let an ideal or perfectionism or a feeling like you have to have the absolute perfect Bible reading plan or just the right circumstances or everything flawless for you to be able to begin studying the Bible. Don't feel so overwhelmed by not knowing how to study the Bible that you don't take the step to begin. So just read it. just pick up a Bible and start reading. A great place to begin is in the beginning of the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biographies of Jesus in the Bible. They read like stories, and that's a great place to begin. Just read it. Don't make it too complicated. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger for good food. I've read so many conversion stories of people who decide to follow Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit and just begin to have this appetite for the Bible that they didn't have before, and just sit down and read it and get immersed in it. Or maybe they were reading the Bible before they decided to follow Jesus, and when they encountered him in the stories in the Bible, they wanted to know him and decided to follow him. So ask the Holy Spirit to give you that kind of hunger to read the Bible, to know Jesus through the Word of God. If you don't like reading, try an audio Bible. You can get the free YouVersion app for your phone, and it's got audio versions of a lot of translations. You can plug your headphones in and listen to them while you're running or cycling. The website BibleGateway.com has a free audio Bible as well. So if you want to listen on your desktop while you're, cooking or doing dishes or doing yard work or whatever, put on an audio Bible and listen. Some people really do listen better, learn better by hearing than by reading visually. So embrace that and try listening to the Bible for a change. Or read with friends. And that can be simple. Again, you don't have to find the perfect Bible study to do together with your friends, but you can just get together and read it and talk about it. My friend Sky and I were getting together in the spring, and we would just sit down and we were studying the Gospel of Matthew, and we would just read it and take turns reading it out loud to each other and just writing down in notebooks everything that Jesus taught, and then discussing, am I applying this in my life? Do I love my enemies? Am I praying for those who hurt me? Am I relying on God to provide for my needs, or am I worrying all the time? And we just talked about, are we applying this? And it was really fun to read and to study it together. And you can study in groups as well. And we're going to have Bible study groups starting at the end of September. And in a Bible study group, you have accountability, because you know that your friends in the group are going to ask you if you did your homework when you show up. And you have structure. It's here's what we're going to read this week, and these are the questions we're going to answer from the Bible this week. And you can share your knowledge. You can teach each other. And you can have fun and build relationships as well. So studying in groups is something that I hope you'll try when we start the Bible studies this fall. Another way we can learn is studying with experts. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So there are many teachers and scholars and experts who have studied the Bible exhaustively and who can teach you what it means and how to understand it and how to apply it to your life. I'm about to begin that process myself. I'm starting seminary this fall, and I'm about to start a four-year program of learning to understand just the New Testament, not even the whole Bible. I'm doing a master's in New Testament. And I'm starting that actually next week on Wednesday. I'm flying to the United States for 11 days to start an intensive course, and it's an entire semester's worth of grad school in 1 week. It's going to be really, really intense. And I'm taking my two youngest daughters with me. Providence is 2 and Unia is 9 months. Taking them to meet their great-grandmothers on the way, and then to go to school. My mom's going to help me take care of the girls while I'm in classes. So pray for me if you think of me over the next couple weeks, because I'm a little worried about the 7-hour time difference on the girls' sleep schedules. I can picture myself being up at 3 in the morning with Unia climbing on me and not wanting to sleep. But would you pray for me for the flight connections and no lost luggage and the rental cars? And if all goes well, I will land in Dusseldorf on Sunday, September 4th, and drive straight here to church. So if you see me that morning, it means that God answered all of your prayers. So I'm looking forward to learning from experts, and that's another way that we can learn. Basically, I'm looking at it as a paid program of discipleship. I'm paying professors that I respect, and I've seen good fruit in their life, and they're people that I want to be like. As they follow Jesus, I want to be like them. That's why I've chosen this program. So I want to be discipled. I want to learn. I want to take in that nourishment from God's word, and I want to learn how to teach it better and how to apply it better in my life. So these community Bible study groups that we're starting in September, we're going to try a new thing. One thing I love about Damascus Road is that we experiment. And so I asked Pastor Matthew this fall if we could do an experiment and try having the entire church, from kids up through adults, study the same book of the Bible. and see what kind of conversations that brings out. As everyone at every age level, in all the families and singles and students, everyone is studying the same thing. What kind of conversations will that bring up? How can we all learn from each other? So from the little preschool kids up through the preteens and the high school youth group and the Drum University students and the adult connect groups, we will all be studying the book of Philippians this fall. So the groups will run from the week of September 25th through about the week of December 7th, and they'll meet weekly to study God's word together. And we're using a book by Community Bible Study on Philippians, and it has five components to the study. There's individual study through home study questions, so there will be homework. So during the week, if you join one of these groups, you will study the Bible on your own, you'll read part of the book of Philippians and answer questions about it. And there will be comprehension questions, what's going on in this passage, interpretation questions, how do we understand this, and application questions, how can I apply what I'm learning to my life? And then there's discussion in a small group setting. So when you come together, you'll bring your finished homework and you'll discuss the answers together. And you'll learn from what other people got out of that passage. You'll be able to share knowledge with each other. And then there will be teaching from those who will be leading the groups. They'll do a short teaching to expand a little bit more on what you studied in that chapter. And then there's a commentary that you can read from a Bible scholar to explain more about the cultural and historical context and draw out some of the things you may not have noticed from the passage, bringing in other sources so we can understand the time that it was written, the audience it was written to, and how that helps us understand the passage better. And then there's a community. Each group will form a community of love and support. A lot of them will have meals as part of it. I think the drum groups and some of the connect groups will be having meals. Other groups will have, you know, cookies and coffee. And there will be time for praying for each other and caring for each other as well. So those five components will be a part of each of those studies. So the next question on your sheet is, if I join a Bible study group from September to December, and I spend 4 or 5 hours a week studying the Bible and going to the meetings, what will I need to give up to make time for that?
Facebook.
My husband has volunteered that I should give up Facebook to make time for it, which is totally, totally legit. I should probably have to do that. Oh, you're going to give up Facebook. We'll do it together.
Yes.
Solidarity.
I like that.
What are you going to have to give up? Because adding, you know, 4 or 5 hour time commitment to your probably already very busy life is a challenge. What is it worth to you? What can you sacrifice to make the time to do the home study and to go to the meetings? The groups will probably last 2 to 2.5 hours, and you've got to get there and get home. So that's time to put in, time to do the study. What are you going to give up to make time for that? There are other foods as well. We've talked specifically about this habit of Bible study, but I want to briefly mention a couple other spiritual nourishing things that we can do. Prayer is also important. Jesus modeled that. So think about, what are some 15-minute time slots during my day when I could focus on prayer instead of something else? Is there time that you can sit down at your table or take a walk and with no distractions, just focus on talking with God? Jesus knew the Father's will and was able to do it. How are you going to know God's will for you? How are you going to spend time listening and communicating with God? I find that even when I sit down at my desk, sometimes I'm distracted with my thoughts, so I tend to write my prayers. I just bought a little notebook and I write my prayers because it keeps me focused. It keeps me from being distracted. And then I get the benefit also of being able to look back later and seeing that God answered the things I asked about, and God brought solutions to the problems that I prayed about. God encouraged me in the areas that I was feeling discouraged. So if you like writing out your prayers, that's one thing to try as well. What are some time slots, 15 minutes here and there? Could you get up 15 minutes earlier? Could you watch one episode of your favorite TV show instead of two? Where can you find the times to pray? And then relationships. Relationships matter immensely. If you think of your three closest friends, think about how they have influenced you over the time that you've known them. Have you become more like them? I know that I become more like the people that I spend time with. And when I'm spending time with people who help me love Jesus better, I grow spiritually. So think about one person who helps you grow closer to God. Someone that you know, whether here in Maastricht or maybe back where you're from, and you could communicate with them over email or Skype or something, or someone here that you can get together with. Who is someone that when you spend time with them, you are encouraged to grow spiritually? They model a life in Jesus that you want for yourself. And when you're with them, you want to be more like that. You want to follow them as they follow Christ. Who is that person for you? And how can you spend time with that person? What's one thing that you could do together? Studying the Bible, praying together, or just doing something fun. Just being with them, just building friendship with them. So as we think about developing the habit of studying the Bible and of nourishing ourselves spiritually, I just want to acknowledge that the Bible can be hard to read. It can be hard to understand and hard to know how to apply to our lives. It's an ancient collection of manuscripts that we believe are inspired by God, that were collected over time. And my current assignment before I get to class is to read this big fat book on the history of the interpretation of the New Testament. And as I'm making my way slowly through that, I'm amazed at the work that so many people have put over thousands of years into preserving the Bible. The manuscripts have been carefully kept and carefully copied and searched for. The archaeological work that has gone into uncovering the Bible manuscripts and supporting documents. The historicity of the Bible has been verified by so many outside sources. So many scholars have done work over time, and translators have worked so hard to look at every word and every bit of punctuation to make sure that it's translated and communicated to us correctly. So much care has been put into preserving the Bible, and we really can trust the authenticity of it. And yet, even with all of that work, sometimes there are still disagreements in translations, and there are disagreements about how we interpret it and how we apply it. That's why there are so many different Christian denominations. We aren't God, and the Holy Spirit can bring truth to us, but in our human minds, sometimes we still find theology to argue with each other about. And so I say all of that not to discourage you from reading the Bible, but actually to encourage you to take the study of the Bible seriously. It can be hard work, but I think that hard work is worth it. So take it seriously. Use good study tools. There are so many women and men of God who have put time and effort into writing commentaries and study guides. And you can use those tools and you can learn. And we can study in groups. We can build each other up. And we can rely on the Holy Spirit to illuminate truth for us. So the Bible can be challenging to read. But don't let that stop you. Let that just encourage you to work hard and to put the hard work in to learning what Jesus taught as given to us in the Bible and applying it to our lives. So what I want to ask you to do this week is to look on the city. And for those of you who are new here, the city is our online communication tool. If you don't have an account yet on the city, talk to me after the service. I'd be happy to help you set that up quickly. There will be a post on the city, I'll put it up this afternoon, about the Philippians Bible study groups. Comment on that and let me know if you're interested in being in one. We're going to have groups in Dutch, English, Portuguese, and probably also Spanish and Italian. If there's a language that you speak that you would like to study in that's not on that list, let me know. Or if there's not a time or a day that works for you, we will try to have groups all over the city at different times during the week. But if there's not a group that works for you, talk to me and I will try to set one up. We've still got a month before the groups start. But think about being in one of those Bible study groups. Think about how you can feed yourself spiritually through studying the Bible in community with other people in our church. And let's see what God does as we study Philippians together and what God teaches us in connection with each other. We're going to sing one more song. If the band would come up, we're going to sing I Surrender All. And as we think about giving up everything we are and everything we have to follow Jesus, think about what that cost is for you. What can you put aside so that you can spend time and effort and energy on learning how to follow Jesus better from the Bible?